Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Yeah, maybe it's Blue Monday, but I'm not playing it today. And I'm playing dance music on The Savage Nation. You know why I'm playing dance music? Music originally came out of the gay nightclubs, and it's now heavily mainstream. And people sometimes dance all night to this music. Not you, of course. You're sitting there trembling, oiling your Glock, reloading your ammo. But I was thinking about this. Weekends are more... We can turn the music off. No, play it louder, not off. Louder, not off. Loud, 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 because they don't understand what they're listening to. All right, that's good. Now they understand what they're listening to. Look, welcome to the Savage Nation. It's the Monday edition. We're not playing Blue Monday because you got used to it, and I don't want you to get too comfortable. Weekends are more telling than work days. How we spend our time off tells us and others who we really are, unless we're gifted and blessed with special talents in our profession or art, where we choose to self-identify. That's a full statement. You can rewrite it and see that it's perfectly stated. But for the average person, you know what today is? If you're listening to the show, yeah, you figure I'm going to tell you what ISIS did and how Obama's a schmuck, and it's all true. But that's not really what you want to hear about. What you want to hear about is, God, the whistle's got to blow and you want to go home. You can't wait to get home. It's Monday. You hate your job. You just can't wait to get home. Now, if you're blessed with a career or profession where your work is your life, that's another story. So I'm going to tell you what I did this weekend. For a reason, and I lead up to the news, the Ebola news, the ISIS news, the fact that there's infection spreading across America because of the illegal alien children that Obama brought in, that none of the liars in the CDC will tell you about. You know how many children are getting sick from these infections in the Midwest and the South? Hospitalized in intensive care units with respiratory illnesses that the politicians called the Centers for Disease Control are saying they don't know where this came from. Well, I'll tell you more about all of those stories and more on the Savage Nation. But I want to back up for a reason. And I'm not sure myself what the entire reason is, but this is how I run my show, The Savage Nation. You're going to get all the news, views, and reviews, but right now you're going to start with a view rather than the news. I already gave you a taste of the news. So Friday night I went to dinner. Went to dinner, place I know, Italian guy, local. Fish was good. But it wasn't New York, and I looked at the people sitting in the suburban restaurant. I wanted to cut my wrists into the calamari, so it would have added a little redness to the sauce. That's the problem with living in the middle of Nowhereville. It's not that the food is necessarily worse than a big city. It's that my old, you know, my quotient, the LQ versus the liberal quotient. Why is it? This is a paradox that friends and I talk about, the few friends I have. The higher the liberal quotient, the higher the LQ in a city or town, the higher the LQ, the better the food and the better the coffee. And the lower the LQ, meaning the higher the conservative Q, the worse the food and the worse the coffee, by and large. It's just a fact. Don't argue with it. You go across the bay in San Francisco to Berkeley, they got the best restaurants in a row that you can't believe, and it's filled with psycho-liberals from you know where. I don't understand. Coffee, every kind of coffee you could imagine. Olive oils, coffees, mustards, foods. You go to like Northern California, real Northern California, they have black coffee and that's it. If you ask for wine, it comes in a box. The food is inedible. It's frozen chicken strips, basically. So, all right, so I go to dinner. That was that. That was Friday night, a washout. Put an X on the calendar. I get bored. I live in multiple dwellings. If you're listening to the Michael Savage Show for the first time in 20 years, welcome. If you're not, you know where I'm coming from. You know where I'm going. It's going to be one of those intuitive shows that you usually enjoy because you like my storytelling. Saturday, I get bored. I go to one of my dwellings, which is in San Francisco, and I spend the day in San Francisco basically enjoying the architecture, the light on the buildings, looking at people, hanging out, doing a little shopping. I have dinner at the end of the day in a dumpy Chinese restaurant that I've known for 20 years, and the food was great. And then I come back. Here's the point. But instead of coming home directly to my other dwelling in the suburb around 9 o'clock, as I usually do, I decide to come home through another part of town because I want to try another avenue. So I go all the way down Market Street to an area near Van Ness, which is an interesting area. It's a younger crowd kind of thing. And people are just, of course, coming out, smoking, drinking. Bars are full. And you see a whole other universe of people. I would call them the Obama voters. I would call them the Barbara Boxer voters. I would call them the true believers of nothing, of nothingness. If they vote at all, they don't vote with their brains. They vote with their, I would call it their hearts, but whatever. They don't think. They're what some call the low-information voter. I would just call them the ignoramuses of the world. But they were having a good time getting stoned. I went back, all the way back over the Golden Gate Bridge, all the way back to my little cottage by the bay. My dog picked him up, watched some TV, and I contemplated the tale of two cities that I live in. The tale of two cities that I live in. The city and the suburbs, the quiet suburbs, and the juxtaposition of both. Now Sunday comes. Now Sunday was a good day because I had Ray Donovan to look forward to at night, and also the first episode of Boardwalk Empire. And while the first was not disappointing, the second was. But prior to that, I had planned to take some friends to dinner because I don't like the blank Sunday nights in the Savage Nation. Is anyone out there? Am I talking to myself? Should I just do Blue Monday now and get the audience and start hammering ISIS? I don't know if I'm ready to do that. Play Blue Monday so they know what they're listening to. They do not even know who I am.
Blue Monday, I'm a Blue Monday.
Hi, Fats.
Got to work like a slave all day.
All right, thank you. This is the Savage Nation starting a little later today. I was giving you memories, dreams, and reflections, which I'm going to do again anyway. So Sunday was a slow day. Of racing around in a sports car for a half an hour, big deal. You know something, if you don't feel good, speeding is very good for that. I don't mean while drinking. You don't drink and do that. But sometimes 110 miles an hour can clear your head and your heart. Of course, I don't do that. I'm saying I read about that. That going very fast and seeing Priuses flash their lights at you and gesticulating as they look like they're sitting still is very good for the soul. It's something good. To see angry little liberals in their little cars receding in your rearview mirror, I read somewhere. But I knew that that night I had Ray Donovan, which, I like the show. Who doesn't? So well done. Characters are great. John Voight steals the scene. Every scene is stolen by John Voight. Whenever he appears, he steals the show. The girl who plays the lesbian assistant, unbelievable, sexy, dynamic, incredible actress, don't know who she is. The guy who plays the Israeli Mossad agent who works for him as his assistant is good. I don't even know his name. I think I remember who he is. The wife, the daughter, but it's getting better. The guy, the lead in Ray Donovan, Liev Schreiber, I still can't relate to him as a tough guy. I'm sorry. Any guy who walks around with his arms out and puffed up, I know is a weakling inside. And that's nothing. There's nothing wrong with not being a tough guy, but you can't play one if you're not one. The really tough guys don't walk around like that. They're just mean inside and tough. They're the kind of guys that could fall out of a one-story building and get up and go, oof, that hurt. That's the kind of guy. But they don't walk around puffed up with their shoulders back. Anyway, so before I watched those shows, I took two friends to dinner. One runs a fabulous, I would say it's the conservative intelligentsia news site that I like the best. It's The American Thinker. My friend Thomas set it up and runs it, and he has some of the brightest people in the business writing from a conservative point of view. And then my lawyer, Dan Horowitz, came. And I go to this place, a little hideout I go to, with a dog, et cetera, if you feel me. And we ate the dinner, and thank God the owner invested in a bottle of Poupon mustard because it made the fish tolerable. I mean, I always want the meat, but because I've been on a lifetime restricted diet, I ate the fish. I ate the fish, big deal. I go there mainly to drink. Before the meal. The food is great, don't get me wrong. But I went for the company to talk about, politics and life and this and that. Something weird happened. You want to hear what happened that was weird? I ordered a good bottle of red wine, which I don't drink at all because my guests like it. So we got a good bottle of Cab that had that nice nitrite smell. You know, that deep humus and smell of the when it's a good wine. I don't like it. Gives me a headache. I ordered a vodka martini without vermouth because my friend who made hundreds of millions of dollars in the vodka business told me the trick to getting more vodka is order a martini without vermouth because then they have to give you all vodka. So, all right, big deal. So I drank in order to get basically feel the alcohol. I didn't drink for the taste, the flavor. I didn't pretend I was a wine expert at that time. I just drank the vodka. Then, after I had what must have been a triple vodka because there was no vermouth in it, they shake it on the ice and pour it, my mood changed. And somewhere about 15 minutes into the dinner, I went behind my two friends, put my arms around them, Dan and Thomas, and I said to someone at the table, I said, could you take a picture of me with my two pallbearers? Now, I get into these sardonic moods. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know where it comes from. Then I come home, and I'm getting ready to watch Ray Donovan and, the other movie. I'm figuring with the dogs at my foot of the couch. The air, it's dark already, thank God. The sun is down. I feel spring, winter approaching. Thank God it's going to be shorter days. You know, it's always long days journeying into night for me, Michael Savage. Always, always has been. Can't wait for the night to fall because I feel better at night. Somehow everything is better when it's dark. I turn on a movie that I had never seen because I figured it was all propaganda, 12 Years a Slave. I wouldn't watch it because I knew what it was. You know, I knew why it won the awards, so I thought. And I figured, I'm not going to watch more liberal propaganda to prop up Al Sharpton and the Jesse Jackson and the other con men, in my opinion, who use slavery as a pretext for all of their chicanery, including your president. But then I watched the movie, and of course I got drawn into it because the art is so good. See, this is the thing about artists. The propaganda value was, of course, there, but it was based on a true story. It was written in the 1850s by a freed slave who was living in Massachusetts, who was a violinist with a wife and children, and he was induced to go to Washington, D.C. to play in a musical composite, a musical performance, rather, for a reasonable fee, the black guy was. And he goes to Washington, D.C., where he's drugged, kidnapped, and wakes up in a slave pen in Louisiana. And that's the story. It's actually a true story. And it says 12 years in hell. I mean, you know, if you watch this movie and you don't come away from it with any sense of compassion for the human condition, I suggest you reconsider who you are because this movie really moved me. Yes, of course, it was a horrible story of the worst kind. And, of course, there are those who will exploit such a horrendous chapter in human history for their own political and financial ends. We know who their names are. They do it every day of the week. But put those bad people aside. What a story that was. That superseded Ray Donovan and, as I said, Boardwalk Empire, which was awful. The worst. The worst. This season's Boardwalk Empire made no sense at all. It was disjoint. It was Martin Scorsese going back to his old ways. Don't know if he shifted. Whatever. This is the Savage Nation. When I come back, I'll go back to the regular fodder for my regular audience because I've only gotten started. No, I'm not ready for the break. I decided I'm not ready. Wait. So I get ready for the show today, and I'm searching. I have 100 stories and 200 sound bites. I pick up a prayer book, and I look at the prayer book. This is the original old prayers, the original Jewish prayers that religious Jews still read to this day. And one of the morning blessings begins like this. These are the precepts for which no fixed measure is prescribed. Leaving the crops of the edge of the field for the poor. Leaving the crops of the edge of the field for the poor. The gift of the first fruits. And they go on. Deeds of kindness. The study of the Bible. And it said, these are the fruits of which man enjoys in this world. And the principal reward remains in the world to come. Honoring one's father and mother, performing deeds of kindness, early attendance at the house of study morning and evening, hospitality to strangers, visiting the sick, dowering the bride, escorting the dead, concentration in prayer, bringing peace between man and his fellow man, and between husband and wife. That's one of the morning blessings. I want you to compare that to what the imams are preaching in your mosques, under your noses, here in America. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN. All right, now you're ready for the show. So here we go. Let's hear Obama. All right, ready.
We're
going
to have to get U.S. military assets just to set up, for example, isolation units and equipment there to provide security for public health workers surging from around the world. If we do that, then it's still going to be months before this problem is controllable in Africa, but it shouldn't reach our shores.
Do you know that he is now sending the U.S. military to a hot Ebola zone? This act alone is treason. This act alone is a level of incompetence never before seen in American history, perhaps in world history. Sending the U.S. military, which has been thinned down by the traitors in the Defense Department, sending them into a hot Ebola zone into Africa. Do you have any idea how risky this is? To have this epidemic spread into our military. It's about as risky as bringing in the infected children from Guatemala, Nicaragua, and other areas of South America, which we warned you were endemic to various diseases. And now there's a great spike in respiratory illness in kids in the South and the Midwest, hitting kids across the U.S. And, oh, the CDC doesn't know why. Doesn't know why. Everything is political, which is why I open the show today with my personal life story from Friday night to Monday morning. Because it's sort of the pretext, the backdrop to where I'm coming from. What I eat is political. What I choose to eat is political. Where I choose to eat is political. Who I choose to hang around with is political. Even if it's pleasurable, it's got to have a political connection from here. I won't have anything to do with anybody. Unless there's a harmony between me and them politically. You think I'm going to hang around with someone who is an ignoramus? You think I could spend 30 seconds with an ignoramus who doesn't know what's going on around them? I can't do it. And that includes you. Stop the coming civil war. By the way, I haven't even gotten to that. I'm telling you, that book is soaring. They can't believe it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, hit clip three.
This problem with unaccompanied children that we saw a couple of weeks ago, where you had from Central America a surge of kids who were showing up at the border.
Turn off the music.
A lot of attention, and a lot of Americans started thinking, we've got this immigration crisis on our hands. Now, the fact of the matter is that the number of people apprehended crossing our borders has plummeted.
The picture. So he floods America with infected illegal alien children. There's now a respiratory illness outbreak in the Kansas City area, the South. Some of the kids are going into the ICU. Now, remember, I spoke about immigrants and epidemics a long time ago. I wrote books on, big articles on it. For 20 years, I've been trying to warn America about the unscreened immigrants being brought in. Now, of course, it's coming home to roost. And the American people are being lied to by the Centers for Disease Transmission. They used to be the CDC, they're now the CDT. Instead of stopping disease spread, they're encouraging it by not speaking out against bringing in infected children and putting them in our public schools, right? It's astounding to me what they can get away with because of the ignorance in the public. Common sense is gone. Common sense would say, what do you expect to happen if you put a kid with a certain virus into a school where they've never been exposed to that virus? It's called an epidemic will break out. It's very similar, by the way, to what happened, I'm a trained anthropologist before being an epidemiologist, et cetera, to what happened to people in the South Pacific when whalers came through with diseases. They almost decimated entire populations with the diseases that were endemic, let's say, to Europe, where there was some immunity to these diseases. But the Pacific Islanders had no such immunity, and when exposed to these diseases, the entire population was almost decimated. For example, in the Marquesas, where I've spent time, a lot of time collecting plants, So what I'm saying is this population in America, which once enjoyed the greatest health on earth, is now being devolved into a second world nation in terms of health because of Obama. Obama is so corrupt or so ignorant or so evil that he's taken what was once the greatest nation on earth and devolving us into a second nation status. And it's really serious when it comes down to our children, isn't it? Isn't it? You want to call me on that? Don't. Because we're going to get into some of the sound now. So he's sending our military to Africa to help them with the Ebola problem without any thought about the fear that our military could become infected with Ebola. He brings in unaccompanied minors from Guatemala, remember, by the trainload? And we were screaming about it. Don't bring them in. They have scabies. They have respiratory infections. The Border Patrol is showing that they're getting sick. They're going into the... And he didn't care because he's owned by La Raza, owned by the Mexican government, owned by the special interests in America, American big business that want the cheap labor, and they don't care what it does to our schools, our hospitals, our prisons. They don't care. All they think about is the bottom line. And then all of a sudden, he decides over the weekend in front of Meet the Pressed, which I called that 20 years ago, Meet the Pressed. They have a new character now. They gave him Mantan over the weekend to make up for his lack of education and experience. They gave him Mantan and the crash diet. And the puffball questions go with the president. And he says all of a sudden he's not going to commit treason before the election. He's going to commit treason after the election when he decides to grant amnesty on his own, even though it's illegal. He said he's not going to do it now. He's going to do it after the election. Why is that? Why is he going to do it after the election? Well, there's only one reason. It's because the so-called vulnerable Democrat liars were going to lose their seats. Their little hot seats that are so good for business were about to be lost because the number one problem in America, in the minds of the average American, is immigration, immigration, immigration. It's the same in England, which has been overrun by Muslims. It's the same in Germany. It's the same in Scotland. It's the same in Norway. It's the same in Sweden. The number one problem in the West is out of control third world immigration. But because the government and media are fundamentally the same machine, you don't understand that that's what's on the minds of the average person. So he declares over the weekend, the genius after the vacations and the golfing after the beheading, suddenly he's not going to act on amnesty. Well, of course, there's an outcry from La Raza and the other groups that thought that they owned him and owned the country. But he says, you know, I'm not going to do this until after the election. Then he says that he's going to wait to get all his ducks in a row for the executive action. He has no power of executive action. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You think that executive action gives him the right to write a law? It does not give him that right. If you study the history of executive actions, you'll find out it has a quite different meaning and far limited powers than the ones that this character, this little petty dictator who has seized absolute power in this country, thinks he has. He should be impeached for what he's done already. But he says, oh no, after the election, when the fools think that we Democrats still care about this country, we'll pass an executive action granting amnesty to illegals so I can basically pay back my La Raza supporters and the big businesses that need the cheap labor at whatever cost it is to the country. You get it? The phone number here is 855-407-282. So Chuck Todd, the Mantan guy, in, I think it's clip six, asks him about the golfing vacations. Listen to six.
I got asked that during that vacation. Made the statement on Foley. You went and golfed. Do you want that back?
You know, it is always a challenge when you're supposed to be on vacation. Because you're followed everywhere, and part of what I'd love is a vacation from the press, and because
I promise you, in 2.5 years,
yeah,
I think that happens.
Because the possibility of a jarring contrast, given the world's news, there's always going to be some tough news somewhere.
What a liar! What a pathetic thin man this is. He should be named the Thin Man. The Thin Man. I mean, Cameron came back from vacation. But he couldn't be bothered. I mean, he had many parties to attend to over there in Martha's Vineyard. It's unbelievable to me how he gets away with it. This man has done so many things that are embarrassment. We know that. But impeachable? Yes, he's impeachable right now. This man is impeachable right now. Now let's go to the callers. KCMO Sigmar, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael, a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yes, sir.
I enjoy your show quite a bit. I was calling about this epidemic that's going on in the Kansas City area, where lots of kids were admitted over the weekend, and I hear about 450 kids were admitted to the children's hospital here for a respiratory viral infection. Of course, there's lots of reasons for that, but I wanted to shine light on, and I know you believe in this too, this natural eating and not taking a lot of medication, but I just wanted to shine a little bit of light on how doctors nowadays, at a drop of a hat, prescribe antibiotics, and antibiotics are everywhere. And also, it's in our food chain. It's changing things that we don't know, how it changes things. There's very little data and, all the mutations.
So Sigmar, are you implying, and I would agree with you, that because of the overuse and prevalence of antibiotics in the food chain and, of course, by doctors who are quick to prescribe it, that's why the kids are getting sick?
Well, we don't know what this is doing. I mean, we think, and a lot of times when you go to the doctor, it's just a respiratory tract infection because of a viral infection, and oftentimes they end up getting prescribed antibiotics, which are, first of all, not useful at all, and second
of all... Absolutely right, of course. If you have a viral infection and they prescribe antibiotics, not only is it not useful, but it will diminish your immune system and prolong your recovery from the viral infection.
Yeah, so... the things that we do...
Doctor, look, you're a doctor in Kansas City. You're seeing these kids in the ICU?
Yeah, well, I'm not personally seeing... I'm an adult doctor, but, I do see patients with respiratory tract infections. So.
Yeah, but the unidentified respiratory virus that is hitting kids in your area and in the South, from my point of view, at least we should be looking at, are they in schools where illegal alien children were placed? Don't you think that would be a reasonable place to begin?
That I don't know. The reason I say that is, in most of the third world countries, the infections are usually bacterial, so TB, things of that nature. Viral infections are common too, but bacterial infections are far more common. In the United States, we have almost gotten rid of
that. No, but Sigma, what I'm suggesting is this. The CDC is claiming they don't know why this rhinovirus is suddenly breaking out in your area, Colorado, Missouri, Kansas, Illinois, Kentucky, Iowa, Colorado, Ohio, Oklahoma, North Carolina, and Georgia. These outbreaks of human enterovirus 68, don't you think it would be rational to say, wait a minute, let's look at these clusters and see if these kids are in schools where Obama dumped illegal aliens? You know that the government will not release the schools or the districts where they move these kids from Guatemala into this country. They won't even disclose where they are. Thank you for the call. That's the first thing you do if you're a detective, if you're a disease detective. That's all. That's what makes sense to me. Now, there's good sound that you have to hear. So now he justifies staying on the links and his hijinks and saying he's not going to legalize illegals until after the election, meaning he's going to commit treason after the election. Listen to clip five. This is a very important one.
I want to spend some time, even as we're getting all our ducks in a row for the executive action, I also want to make sure that the public understands why we're doing this, why it's the right thing for the American people, why it's the right thing for the American economy.
How could legalizing illegal aliens be the right thing for the American economy when the net cost to the American people is negative, not positive? When you factor in the low-wage earners that are going to be legalized, with the wives and children at home who are not working, not producing, not contributing, instead taking from society, that $15 an hour laborer is costing us $50 an hour at least. And the taxpayer is paying that difference. So look at this from a fiscal point of view. It's one of the most backwards things imaginable. Do you understand that? Obama has committed one impeachable offense after another. But he's just warming up. Listen to what he says about clip four. Listen to this.
What I'm saying is that I'm going to act because it's the right thing for the country. But it's going to be more sustainable and more effective if the public understands what the facts are on immigration, what we've done on unaccompanied children, and why it's necessary. And, the truth of the matter is that the politics did shift midsummer because of that problem.
What problem? Of you bringing them in by the trainload and telling America to drop dead? What do you mean the politics shifted? You were an arrogant dictator who should have been impeached, period. What do you mean politics shifted? You are dumping tens of thousands of children into this country. Some of them diseased, and the U.S. Marshals, excuse me, the Border Patrol was screaming, we're getting the infections. You told them to go to hell. Who do you think you're fooling? Do you think everyone's a moron in Chicago on drugs, running around playing a knockout game? It's Monday. It's too soon for this. But it's unbelievable to me, the audacity. Now, I want you to listen to clip five again. The first line is so important. Listen to clip five.
I want to spend some time, even as we're getting all our ducks in a row for the executive action, I also want to make sure...
Stop. Listen to what this slick con man just said. Listen to what the con man just said with just a smooth, silk-smooth presentation. What is executive action? Do you have any idea what it is? Do you think it gives him the authority to write a law? No. No, not at all. That's not what he's allowed to do. He can't just do it. What is an executive order? Do you know what an executive order is? You've come to believe because of this slick con man that he has the right. Oh, I want to possess, I'm getting our ducks in a row for the executive action that King Obama is going to write. It does not give him a power that is granted exclusively to him in the Constitution. Do you know what it is? Do you have any idea what it is? Executive orders happen to be subject to judicial review. And they may be struck down if deemed by the courts to be unsupported by statute or the Constitution. So no matter what he does, it will be challenged. But it will be too late, because if he grants amnesty to 50 million illegal aliens, how are you ever going to buy that one back? So if we had a legitimate president who really cared about this country, he would say, this is too serious an issue for me to act alone, and I want Congress to pass this legislation after a vigorous debate on the issue of amnesty for illegal aliens. That's what a legitimate president would do. But he's always been a shady, illegitimate con man. There is no constitutional provision nor statute that explicitly permits executive orders. Did you hear this? There is no such law. He made it up. Do you know what the executive order means? The Constitution, Section 1, Article 2, Section 1, Clause 1 of the Constitution says the president is instructed to, quote, take care that the laws be faithfully executed, or else he faces impeachment. That the law be faithfully executed. Where does the law say, where is the law that says they shall be granted amnesty? Do you understand that there is no support for his, quote, the executive order? The man must be stopped before he does it. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. So Obama's like a cheating husband who at every turn cheats on America. He has a character flaw that's as wide as the Grand Canyon. Nothing this man does or says is straight up. He is just like a cheating, lying husband to this country. Moreover, he's a cheating, lying husband to the U.S. Constitution, everything this country was based upon. Listen to what this man just said. I want to spend time, as we're getting all our ducks in a row, for the executive action. Now, the history of the executive action is very clear. Do you know what an executive action permits and what it doesn't permit? Well, an executive action is invalid if it attempts to make law rather than clarify or act to further a law that was put forth by the Congress or the Constitution. Can any one of you liberal liars call this show right now and show me which law, show me a law put forth by this Congress or the Constitution that gives the right of this cheating president of ours, this lout, this to make a law with the sweep of a pen that gives him the right to grant amnesty to 30 to 50 million illegal aliens. I have an open line at 855-400-7282. I want to stop the coming civil war that this man is trying to provoke. That's why I want you to look at my book. Don't laugh it off. Read it before you laugh it off, you idiot.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I want to spend some time, even as we're getting all our ducks in a row for the executive action.
As he gets ready for, quote, the executive order. The executive order? Well, what he means by that is the one that'll put the final nail in the coffin of our freedoms. That's what he means by that. That's what he means by the executive order. But let me remind you of something. Let me make it very simple for you. There are very clear rules and guidelines outlining what any president could or could not do through an executive order. And the most important thing for you to remember is that an executive order cannot make law. It can only clarify a law that exists. Did you hear me? It can only clarify a law that was put forth by the Congress or the Constitution. Every president before this scoundrel have been careful to cite which specific laws they're acting under when issuing new executive orders. Did you hear what I said? This scoundrel, though, says he's going to make up his own law because he is a law unto himself because he's Barack Obama. He's gotten away with everything he's wanted his whole life. He can't believe that there's such a thing as a Constitution and a Congress, let alone the American people. Who the hell do they think they are? They're nobody. Who needs them? Well, let me explain to you that until 1952, there were really no rules or guidelines outlining what a president could or could not do through an executive order. But it was tested. When was it tested? The Supreme Court ruled in the Youngstown Sheet and Tube Company versus Sawyer that Executive Order 10340 from President Harry Truman placing all steel mills in the country under federal control was invalid. Why was it invalid? Supreme Court said it was invalid because this executive order attempted to make law rather than clarify a law that was put forth by the Congress of the Constitution. So Truman was overridden by the Supreme Court, and his executive order was thrown out. Obama must know that. He's a genius. He's a genius lawyer. He's abusing his position of power. That's why I wrote the novel Abuse of Power years ago. Abuse of power has a meaning to it. But if this man thinks he's going to get away with an executive order with the sweep of a pen to satisfy the gangsters in La Raza, he's mistaken. He will trigger an insurrection in this country, which is what I fear is what he wants, which is why I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War. Yeah, you're going to hear a lot more about it rather than a lot less. What does it mean for our freedoms and our way of life that this president can, with the sweep of a pen, grant amnesty to 50 million illegal aliens? Now, they say 11 million. They've been saying that for 8 years now. Can you imagine what a lying government this is, that for 10 years now they've been saying that there's 11 million citizens here who should be illegal? How could it be 11 million? How do they know it's 11? How do they know it's not 10.5 million or 11.9 million? My guesstimate is it's 50 million with the families, the hidden families. The country just fiscally can't afford it. Our nation is in real trouble. And the seeds of a second conflagration have been sown by Obama. Now, the reason he decided not to write his little executive order before the election is because he would have triggered the end of the Democrat Party as we know it. Even they know it would have been the end of the party. They know that. And in my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, which will be out in about a month from now, I'm asking you to look at, buy it. It's selling like crazy in advance. It's become number one on BarnesandNoble.com. In fact, they went back to press already before publication. They know it's going to be a raging hit. Every president since George Washington has issued what we have come to know as executive order. And I told you that there's a loose basis for the legality and executive of the executive order in the Constitution. It gives the president the power to, quote, to take care that the laws are faithfully executed. Faithfully executed. Now, presidents have used executive orders before, but there must be a clear law in place that they're making certain is being carried out. There is no law granting amnesty right now for the illegals. The most executive orders were written by President Lincoln, who, if you look back at Lincoln, he was a dictator. Lincoln, and by the way, I spell out, there's a whole half a chapter about President Lincoln in my book, Stop the Coming Civil War. That's very controversial. And that's because of the issue of slavery. We all know slavery was an abomination that had to be eliminated. We all know that. Abomination of the worst order. But what you don't know is that Lincoln abused the Constitution and the American public, unlike any president before him, perhaps ever since him, until Obama. Lincoln suspended the writ of habeas corpus during the Civil War. Do you know what that means? Well, look it up. Do you know that Lincoln arrested 15,000 of his political opponents, including news reporters who reported news about the Civil War that he didn't like? He put them in jail. Did you know that President Roosevelt established internment camps during World War II using an executive order? Right? Bill Clinton took the United States to Kosovo with an executive order. But when Harry Truman used Executive Order 10340 to put steel mills with striking workers under federal control, the order was challenged. And the Supreme Court overthrew it because it attempted to make law rather than clarify or act to further a law put forth by the Congress of the Constitution. If you learn nothing from me ever in my 20 years, learn what I'm telling you. It's the most important thing I've ever taught you. This scoundrel in the White House does not have the power to make law. Not at all. He has no power to make law. And yet he's acting as though he does. And he's getting ready now to impact us with an executive order that will destroy the nation as we know it. It will destroy our borders, our language, and our culture all at once. Who granted President Obama the power to do this? Nobody. Him and his minions. Him and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse. Him and La Raza. Him and God knows who. Certainly not the Constitution. So now we have a good handle on what the lay of the land is in the United States regarding executive orders, right? So why are you afraid of it? When a president says he's going to write an executive order, if you had faith in him as a man who believed in the people, believed in the will of the people, and believed in the will of the Congress and the will of the Constitution, we wouldn't fear it. But we know that this great experiment called the United States of America only functions because power has been restrained and broken down and weaved back together with a system of carefully crafted checks and balances. That is why this great experiment has existed for so long. And this system of checks and balances was put in place to protect us against the oppression of the ruling class. Obama, Feinstein, Boxer, Harry Reid, Charles Schumer. That's the ruling class. That's the tyranny that's emerged. That's when power is concentrated into the executive, legislative, and judicial branch in one person. When you start ruling by executive order instead of by the will of the people, you no longer have the United States of America. You have a dictatorship. What about an executive action on guns? If this man is allowed to get away with amnesty for 50 million illegal aliens, he can do anything. He can take you off the streets in the middle of the night with a black bag over your head. You're calling it in the name of national security. They could do that now, by the way, with another thing he did in the middle of the night called the NDAA. I try to warn you about that, and I spend a whole chapter on what he can do to you right now in Stop the Coming Civil War. I ask you, why have so many of our top military commanders been summarily pushed aside after years of service? I asked about the falsification of records by the VA personnel to cover up the horrific neglect of our brave soldiers, a sign of what's to come with Obamacare. I've talked about Obama's irresponsible foreign policy and what that has meant for the world. I'm talking about our freedoms now, and it's all in my last big nonfiction book, and it's only available now, only at BarnesandNoble.com. Soon it'll be out in the bookstores, and I know you're going to buy it. It's going to send a big message out there. But there's so much to talk about, and people are so confused by this cheating president of ours, because you don't want to believe anybody can be this deceptive. When a wife wakes up and finds out her husband's been cheating on her, maybe she sensed it, maybe she didn't want to know about it. Maybe she turned her head from it all her life. But then one day she finds the pictures or the emails. What does it do to her heart? What does it do to her soul? And what does a nation do when it wakes up and finds out that they have a cheating president? A man who is so characterless, so deceptive, so distorted that he thinks he can cheat endlessly on a nation and that everyone is so dumb because he's so smart. The people are so dumb because he's so slick. He can get away with anything because he's a Barack Obama. He can get away with anything. Well, he woke up over the weekend after his little vacation and found out that the party elders said, hey, look, we don't care what you do with amnesty, but don't do it before the election because we're going to melt down. And we just can't afford to lose the business we have called the Democrat machine. It's a business. So for the sake of business, they told the so-called commander-in-chief not to stick America's, not to stab the Statue of Liberty in the heart with this executive order of his, because it'll only be challenged. It'll be taken to the Supreme Court, and 2 years later it'll be found that he exceeded his authority. And then what? Then you're going to deport them after they brought in their whole families? And you have 70 million here? Good luck. So they said, you better not do it. Better not do it. So he says, I'll tell you what, I'll commit treason after the election. Now, what do you think is going to happen in this country when he commits treason, this cheating husband of ours called the president? That's a very big story. He doesn't have the power to do this. Because there's no law in the land that grants amnesty to illegal aliens. So you can't write one. Never mind what the slimeball Gutierrez says. Never mind what the enemies call La Raza say. The American people know better. There is no executive order that permits amnesty. You want to discuss amnesty for a certain number of illegal aliens? Have a debate in Congress. Let it go on for 3 months. Let it rage. Both sides of the issue. I want to hear it. I, as an American voter, want to hear both sides of it. I want to hear why we need it. I want to hear who would get it. I want to hear who wouldn't get it. I want to hear what the trade-off will be, who will be deported. I want to hear about the 30% of prisoners who are in prisons who are illegal aliens. I want to know when they're going to be thrown out of my country. I want to know when they're going to be deported as part of this package, so-called. That's a vigorous debate that a nation that is still a viable whole nation would ask for. But no, we don't get that. We get this charlatan imposter, this cheating hard husband of ours, the president of the United States, saying straight up he's going to write the executive action. Well, he has no such power. Now you want to talk about the Middle East? Over the weekend, we hear that Obama finally came out against ISIS. That was before he was against ISIS. He's now against ISIS. Before he said he's going to control them, now he's going to destroy them. So every day this man changes according to the polls and what people in the party are saying. And the people are not that dumb. They're not as stoned as we thought. We tried everything we could to keep them dumb. We tried. We gave them legalized marijuana. It still isn't working. They can still see through the haze. We tried to dump drugs on them. It didn't work. You better slow it up. You better slow it up. And they know that you're a fraud and an imposter. You better change your story virtually every day. So what did they come out with about the Middle East over the weekend? Now they want our troops or our Air Force to join Assad in Syria and listen to this, in Iran, to crush the Islamo-fascists and the Islamo-Klux Klan known as ISIS. So what? Now they're our allies? After telling us for 2 years we had to arm the, quote, rebels in Syria who is ISIS? Where do you think they got their weapons and training from? Us. You think that there were no men over there training them? They're very smart on the battlefield. Where do you think they got their training from? Well, many of them are hardened military officers from Saddam Hussein. Many of them, though, were trained by our own men for the last several years to overthrow Assad. That became the number one goal of Barack Obama's foreign policy, and along with the war hawk McCain. They wanted Assad gone without thinking past what would happen. They didn't learn from Libya when they overthrew Gaddafi. They didn't learn from Iraq when they overthrew Saddam. They didn't learn from Egypt when they got rid of Mubarak. They learned nothing. They're idiots. They think only of the end. They don't think of the end game at all. They don't think of the end game at all. All they think about is who's pulling their strings. And I will tell you that the big winner of this new coalition between the United States, Assad, and Iran, you know who the big winner is? I'll tell you the minute I come back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
I want to be very clear. My intention is, in the absence of action by Congress, I'm going to do what I can do within the legal constraints of my office, because it's the right thing to do for the country.
All right. The man is so out of control that the party elder said, wait a minute, hold it. Don't do it until after the election, because we'll lose the Democrat Party forever. So he says, okay, I'll commit treason after the election. Let me explain to you the very definition of tyranny is the concentration of executive power in one individual, using executive order instead of the will of the people, meaning Congress. If he gets away with this, he can do anything he wants. He can take your guns away. He can turn the internet off at will. He could put people in FEMA camps. He could declare martial law. These are all fears that are rational, that are being stoked when Barack Obama uses an executive order to make law. Remember this. Nations rise and nations fall. People become free and then fall into slavery again. Many of the world's most significant civilizations have died not from assaults from outside, but rather from the enemies within. Can a president use executive order to manipulate society? They can try, and with no clear opposition, it would be very difficult to alter such decisions. The bigger question is, can he be stopped before he grants amnesty to the illegal aliens after the election? The answer is yes. They just made a decision not to grant amnesty before the election because of your outcry. I'm warning you that unless, well, I have a plan. I can't go into every detail and stop the coming civil war. It took me over a year and a half to write the book. I need you to read the book. I need you to carry the book. The book's cover is a billboard. It's my picture with a hand up that says, stop the coming civil war. It's that simple. Sends a very strong message. Imagine riding with it on a subway and seeing someone look at you and say, what is that book? What do you mean, stop the coming civil war? Who does he think he is? What's that book about? Maybe they'll burn the book. Maybe they'll ban the book. I don't know what the president could do. After all, he's king, isn't he? He's like a cheating husband. But he's been caught. And now he continues to deny it. Do you want to remain in denial for the rest of this administration's history? I hope not.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hundreds and hundreds of children are sick now with a so-called rare virus that's manifesting as respiratory illnesses across the nation. And the liars in the CDC, which are, they should be embarrassed, they should lose their, you know, if we had a rational nation, the head of the CDC would be arrested for this, for incompetence and for no, he knows that hundreds of the children that Obama threw into this country from Guatemala on those trains, remember that? The beginning of the summer, were diseased. They had TB. They had respiratory illnesses that the Border Patrol was contracting. They had scabies. The CDC knows this. We don't know where it came from. Rare virus, enterovirus D68. Respiratory illnesses breaking out in children in 10 states across the nation. Lung conditions that are so bad that they're being hospitalized. Colorado, North Carolina, Georgia, Ohio, Iowa, Illinois, Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, Kentucky. But, of course, it's west of the Hudson. Doesn't matter. It's not in Joan Rivers' backyard. Didn't affect the Upper East Side, the Upper West Side. It's in flyover country, so therefore it didn't make it to Washington, D.C. So if it doesn't make it there, it doesn't make it anywhere. If the diseases don't make it there, the diseases don't exist. The diseases. So the so-called Centers for Disease Transmission, CDT, are trying to figure out why there are clusters of this respiratory illness. Well, I, as a trained epidemiologist, I begin with, I'd like a list of the schools where the children from Guatemala and El Salvador and Nicaragua were put, but the government won't even release that. See, that's why the Department of Homeland Security should be impeached. There's not a department in this country under this cheating husband called Obama that is not impeachable. Whether it's DHS, IRS, you name it, they're all lying to us. They're all deceiving us. They're destroying hard drives in the IRS, and they're laughing at us because the useless sacks of blubber called the Republican Party are doing nothing. Whatever happened to ICE's investigation of the IRS? What, do you go to sleep over the summer? Where's that investigation of Lois Lerner? Where is Lois Lerner? Where is she? Where, she's in Palm Beach somewhere enjoying her vacation? So we have a lot of problems here, but the worst is yet to come. Worst is yet to come. Now children are getting sick, and no one knows why. High volume in an ER, ICU, and among hospitalized patients. They're seeing it. The doctors are seeing it. Kids are getting this virus, having asthma complication. In Missouri, a pediatric hospital in Kansas City reported more than 300 cases of illnesses, respiratory illnesses. 15% of those children being placed in intensive care. The virus is related to rhinovirus, which causes the common cold. There's, of course, no vaccine for D68. No vaccine whatsoever. But if the kids have asthma or other lung diseases, they can get complications that require hospitalization. This is a direct result of flooding America with immigrants with diseases. I wrote about immigrants and epidemics many years ago. The kids are getting hit first. And isn't it ironic that this lying administration, which says they're doing it for the children, cared not a whit about our children? And by the way, something I wrote many years ago comes back to mind, which is that microbes are indiscriminate. They don't care if you're a liberal or a conservative. They don't care if you're black, white. They don't care what you are. Microbes do not discriminate, wrote Michael Savage back in the 1980s in one of my books. Microbes are very democratic. They do not discriminate. So you may be smirking right now at all of these unwashed masses in flyover country whose kids are getting sick. But you won't be laughing soon if, God forbid, this outbreak hits you and your children. Oh, then you'll hear about it. See, school just started after summer vacation. And the kids were exposed to tens of thousands of illegals, and your cheating president won't even tell you where he put them, which schools they're in. Do you understand why everything is political, whether it's health or food or the TV shows I watch or who I go to dinner with? Everything is political to me. Everything is political. And there's nothing more political than what's going on in this country right now, because we have a dictatorship that's not in the making. It exists. It's right in front of your eyes. It exists. It's here. It's here. It's here. There it is. She says, well, okay, but I'm not going to show my hand of treason until after the election, because we need the schmucks to continue to vote for a Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, and the other harbingers of doom. Well, we got a lot to talk about, and this is only Monday, and I realize there's a lot to do on Monday. It's hard. You know, you're tuning around the dial. You got a headache from this already. You don't want to hear it because you can't do anything about it. You feel powerless. What can I tell you? I have an obligation. I have an obligation. I decide, you report. Fox News says they report and you decide. I reversed it. I decide what's important. I decide what's going on, and then you report to your friends what's going on after listening to me. It's that simple. So I've just explained to you why an executive order does not permit a president to make law, only to make sure that a law that's on the books is enacted. There is no law on the books granting amnesty. None. Now, with his deceptive friend Eric Holder in the so-called Justice Department, they'll make up a law. They'll twist the law. They'll parse the law in order to pass the law that doesn't exist. Now I want to talk about ISIS, or the Islamo-Klux Klan, if you want to put it in those terms, the IKK. Over the weekend, Feinstein comes out and says that, oh, now the great leader, the great Napoleon of our time, the greatest strategist in history for destroying a nation. You know, he's actually as good as Napoleon in reverse. Napoleon was a genius on the battlefield. He could outmaneuver the enemy because he was smarter than them. I've been studying Napoleon recently. He was so incredibly intuitive, and he always knew just where to put his troops or how to break through the enemy's lines where they least expected it, right until he eventually collapsed at Waterloo, I believe, was the final straw, but I'm not up to that yet. Obama's Napoleon in reverse. He's a brilliant strategist for destroying a country. He knows just where to crush the opposition. He knows just where to place the enemy in order to destroy and weaken us in one bold move after another. I mean, don't underestimate what a Napoleon he really is for decimating this nation. But the best is yet to come. But he hasn't met his Waterloo yet. He has not yet met his Waterloo because there's no opposition to speak of. Where's the opposition? The Republican Party? Are you joking? Are you kidding me? Don't be silly. So now over the weekend, he changes from we're going to contain ISIS, that's after the golf match, to we're going to destroy ISIS. And then out comes, here comes Feinstein, head of the Senate Intelligence Committee. She took time out from contracting investigations. And she comes out, and do we have her soundbite about wanting to destroy, yes or no? Okay, we don't have her, but it doesn't matter. Somebody comes out against ISIS, and she wants special ops, and he wants a war to crush ISIS. Sounds good, right? Now, she goes further, and she wants Syria and Iran to join us to fight ISIS. Someone wrote me over the weekend, someone I respect, said, "What do you agree with this? Should we fight with Syria and Iran to destroy the Islamoklux Klan?" And here's what I wrote. Let me read it to you and see if I still agree with what I wrote Saturday morning. I wrote this. It's one paragraph. "Assad of Syria is a monster, but could crush ISIS like a bug, especially if we had not had the CIA arm ISIS, quote, the Syrian rebels, with anti-tank launchers, heavy artillery, and tactical training by our U.S. special forces." And then I wrote, "Iran, which was just last month our worst enemy, has been cleverly reinvented by Valerie Jarrett as our best ally in the, quote, coalition against our new worst enemy, ISIS. The big strategic loser here is Israel," I wrote, "which wanted both Assad and Iran neutered. Also remember that Russia is an ally of Iran and Syria." That was my statement. Agree or disagree? It's the Savage Nation. It's that simple. 855-407-282 is the phone number. And we're moving right along. I need some music. I'm getting exhausted already. It's only Monday. How am I going to get to Wednesday? I mean, need a day off. Sighing heavily as I rub his chest and gently brush his eyebrow. Say, "God bless the dog." Here's the question. Should I talk about television? You want to hear views, news, and reviews? Which do you want, news, views, or reviews? The answer is, I'll give them all to you at once. I gave you views in the beginning of my weekend, and then I did news. Then I got very heavily into the political stories that are driving me crazy and everyone else who has a brain, because they see what this cheating husband is doing. And why am I playing Hank Williams, "Your Cheating Heart"? Another movie. I learn a lot from good movies and good television. Say, "Oh, wow, you're not a really smart man." Well, think of how many great minds are involved in producing film. Film has greatly exceeded opera. I mean, I don't even go to the opera anymore. How can I watch something from the 1800s about a lost love when I could watch Ray Donovan? What's a better production? Someone on stage with too much perfume and bad makeup singing about a love affair in 18th century France or Italy? And then you got to put up with the perfume and the rustling of the gowns and the old men who are lifting on the chair. I don't want to go there anymore. What, I want to see Willie Brown downstairs having a vodka? That's going to make me happy. I want to see people wearing the gowns that were a laughing stock last week from the symphony opening at the opera opening. No, I really don't want to go to that. I'd rather watch television tonight with a clicker, to be honest. But what do you think about my strategy on joining Syria and Iran to fight ISIS? I mean, that's a real good one. I mean, if that's what they're going to do now, then McCain should be immediately arrested for having instigated the rise of ISIS. He's the one who's been screaming, "Arm them, train them, destroy Assad." Assad was ISIS's worst enemy. He kept them constrained the way that Gaddafi did, the way that Mubarak did. Mubarak killed a Muslim brother, then they killed him, don't you? Mubarak destroyed and controlled the Muslim Brotherhood, remember? But then the Muslim Brotherhood entered the White House through other means, and they arrested Mubarak. Remember that? Remember that whole sequence? Put him in jail, the man who ruled Egypt with an iron fist, because we want a democracy. We want a democracy, democracy. We want the people to rule everywhere but here. I love how Obama wants democracy everywhere but here. Everywhere he wants democracy, but here he wants executive orders. Don't you love that? Huh. So I have a lot to say, and I've said a lot of it, but I haven't said everything that I want to say. I think I want to shift gears now. I have a little time at this juncture on the Savage Nation to talk about TV for a minute again. Anyone out there, I don't see, there's a problem. If I talk about a show like Ray Donovan, it's a very small number of people who even know what it is, because you don't get cable, a lot of you. You're anti-cable, whatever. You don't pay for the service. It's one of the best TV shows since it's taken over where The Sopranos was in terms of almost as good, not quite. It misses in places. It's because Liev Schreiber is not James Gandolfini. Let's start with that. I mean, he carried that show. Right now, John Voight is better than Liev Schreiber. I mean, that's the problem. It's a weak lead. And the wife is good, but not as good as Edie Falco was in The Sopranos. But nevertheless, let me give you a plot line. So, because there's a bigger story here. Nah, I don't know. It's too much. It's too much information. It's too much for you to carry in your head. It's too much visual required. Too much visual. You won't get it. But if you do watch it, there was a scene where One of the brothers from the boxing gym, he's a grown man, he's a big guy, but he was molested by a priest. And almost all these Irish boys in this plot or who own a boxing gym were molested by this priest, who later one of them, they killed him. A Boston priest, right? So here we are now, they're grown up, and the guys are carrying these scars of molestation into their adulthood. They're all screwed up one way or the other. But one of the brothers is more screwed up than the others, and he goes to therapy for survivors of priest molestation called SAP, and he's not been with a woman his whole life. He's a big guy, a good-looking guy, but he's very, very shy, and he accidentally meets someone, and she's really kind, and she loves him, and she's kind to him, and she thinks he's charming because he's so innocent. You know, he's so shy, and she's kind of a homely girl, but a really sweetheart. She has a little boy about 7 or 8, and he starts coming over, having dinner with them, and he becomes like a dad, an uncle to them. And it's a very touching little development. And then something happens last night that was really, you want to have your socks knocked off, because I saw this one coming. The little boy is in a bathtub taking a bath, and he really loves this guy, this character, who had been molested by a priest, who's very shy and whatever. So the girl, the woman that he's dating, who's a single mother, of course, is in the kitchen wiping dishes, and she says, "Will you take Johnny out of the bathtub for me?" And you could see the guy's face is in such doubt and anxiety over this, for the obvious reasons. And you don't know what he's going to do. I mean, he could have said, maybe you could do it, I'll do the dishes. But that's not how it was written. It was written so well. He says, okay. So he goes in the bathroom where the little boy is in the bathtub, and the little boy says to him, "Uncle, could you lift me out of the bathtub?" And you could see the agony in his face. I mean, he doesn't want to look at the kid. He's terrified. He doesn't know what's going to happen with his emotions. So he gets scared, and he grabs a towel and tries to put it around the boy, and then the boy squirms. He says, "No, you have to pick me up out of the bathtub." And he throws the kid on the ground and runs out of the bathroom. Well, you know what's coming next. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So, listen to this. There's an article linked on the Drudge Report. School employee on Michelle Obama's snack rules. You cannot buy a Tic Tac in a Nebraska school, I checked. The schools are melting down from the idiotic rules that Michelle Obama imposed on them with regard to so-called healthy foods. Now, we all want our children to eat healthy, but the kids don't want it. And schools are going broke. More than 1 million students no longer buy school lunches because of Michelle's idiotic restrictions. And by the way, it's created more than $1 billion in waste because students are now forced to take fruit and vegetables they don't want, right? So she tells you what your kids can eat. When her children go to the Sidwell Friends School, and I have their menu, they can have barbecue sliders, beef nachos, muffins, French fries, and Caesar salads for the princesses of Obama. But your children let them eat cake. Can you believe this?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You know, when I was a teenager and I listened to these songs, I loved them, but I didn't know what they meant. I had no idea how sexy they really were. A lot of these country songs are so incredibly, provocatively exciting. I had no idea. You know, here was a big city kid. I grew up in the Bronx, as you know, New York, in a tenement. I'm not proud of it or unproud of it. I'm not running for office. Truthfully, I would have rather been born with a silver spoon in my mouth. Truthfully, I would rather not have worked 3 jobs. Truthfully, I would rather have not gone to a city college. Truthfully, I would have rather had newer cars when I was young. Truthfully, I would have had better clothes. Truthfully, I wish I had been better dental work. But the thing is, you get what you get, and you live how you live. So when I was a kid, the first song I loved hearing was Gene Autry. I used to listen to Gene Autry over and over and over again in my squalid little life, misery, a miserable little life. Not horrible, but miserable. Miserable, not horrible. Horrible is different than miserable. I lived a miserable childhood as opposed to some of you had horrible childhoods, you know, without shoes or working in a coal mine or whatever. Miserable parents who beat you with straps. I didn't have that. Horrible is different than miserable. So to get away from the misery of my childhood, I would withdraw. I had a little phonograph that was hand-wound. You'd wind it up. And I'd replay over, like an OCD, I'd play Gene Autry. I could remember to this day the feeling of the turntable, how, you know, like it felt, and put the record on over and over again. I'd play Gene Autry. Till I'm back in the saddle again. You could play that if you want. I'm building up to politics. Well, I'm back where a friend is a friend. I used to love it. I didn't know why. I just loved, I guess that's a country and western song, right? Gene Autry was a classic western performing artist. And it took me out of my existence. And I imagine the West Coast. I didn't envision San Francisco with the weirdos. I envisioned tumbleweed and chuck wagons and women with cowboy hats that would love me. I don't know what I envisioned. Who knows? I even envisioned Gabby Hayes serving me a meal on the back of a chuck wagon. But I would listen to Gene Autry, as I say, and I loved the song. I don't know why. It took me out of my little urban existence. And as I got older, of course, I listened to rock and roll. And then along came Hank Williams, and he did songs that I was fascinated by, and I didn't even know how good he was, nor why I liked him. And Jimmy Rogers. Now think about this. Had I been musically inclined and had I gone down a different road, I'd be in the music business. It's very interesting when you think back. Had I had a family that would have permitted even an inkling of a son to have any artistic inclinations, I would have been a different person than I am today. But it was suppressed. It was like, what's wrong with you? What do you mean art? What do you mean music? Turn that garbage off. Get a job. Get a job. Get a real man's job. You know, it was like that. So I'm not going back, and you don't redo your childhood. It is what it is. You know, you come out a certain way. You put through the sausage factory of childhood, and you come out the sausage that you are. And you don't really look at it and say, gee, I wish I were another sausage. I don't wish I had more oregano in it. I don't wish I was made of organic meat. I don't wish that I had less fat and less sodium. I am what I am. I am a full sodium sausage. I'm Michael Savage. I'm a spicy, full sodium sausage. Welcome to the program. So I was listening to I saw a TV show over the weekend as well. I guess I watched too much TV. I always did. I escaped into movies even as a child. And one of the movies I watched was the Hank Williams story. I didn't know that there was a Hank Williams story, but it was so well done. The actor was so good in this role. How could you not love this guy? I mean, it opens with a boy without shoes in a poor Alabama town, and his best friend is a black street musician who plays a guitar, who teaches Hank, the young Hank Williams, who how to play the guitar. And then the opening scene is a little while later, the black guy dies in his arms. It was so touching. It was unbelievable. The old black man in the little white, poor white boy's arms. And he says, oh, he says, is the sun going down? He says, do you feel cold? He says to the little boy. I mean, it was made up. But, I mean, it rips you apart. I mean, some of these movies were so well written. Corny, I know. It doesn't play in San Francisco. They laugh it out of the theaters. They would throw Tic Tacs at the screen. I get it. But I'm a sentimental guy. So I watched the movie, and I listened to his songs. I said, holy God, that was him. He was the one who did all these, hey, good looking, you know, all of those great songs. Or he did this one, which I love, Your Cheating Heart. Watch where this one goes. Play Your Cheating Heart now before we get to Obama and executive order.
Your Cheating Heart.
All right, so here's an old Yankee boy who loves country and western music in his heart, which I'm only rediscovering. I mean, it took me years to realize how much I love these ballads. The ballads are what I'm talking about. These are all stories. They're stories set to music. You understand why these songs are so great. I'm not going to compare it to rap or go into one of those things. That's not the point. So now we wake up, and you hear a song like Your Cheating Heart, and you realize you're going to apply it to Obama. He's cheating on America. And the woman catches him cheating, and he says to America now, who are you going to believe, you? Who are you going to believe, your eyes or me? You know the old joke, right? The woman catches her husband in bed with another woman. The woman comes home, and he's in bed with another woman in her house. And she looks at her and says, oh, my God. And the guy looks at her, and he has such a mind control over her. With his eyes, he looks at her, and he says, who are you going to believe, your own eyes or me? Obama's like that cheating husband. He's been caught in bed with America's enemies, La Raza, the Islamofascists. Wherever you turn, he's in bed with the other side. And we're looking at him and saying, what? And he's saying, who are you going to believe, me or your own eyes and your own brain? Does that make sense to you? Or is that pushing the metaphor too far? Did I push it too far today? So now we come to this point where he floods America over the summer with hundreds of thousands, I don't know how many, 50,000, 80,000 illegal alien children. Remember, he told us it was for our benefit and he brought them here for our economy. We needed them to work. So he was in favor of child labor. Remember what I was saying about the illiterate mothers who don't even read or write Spanish are going to come to this country and work? And the children, many of whom are affected with TB, respiratory illnesses, scabies, cholera, you name it, they're good for the country. We were screaming, screaming, and no one heard us. We became the voiceless nation, the voiceless nation. Nobody heard us. Well, then over the weekend, the cheating president announces suddenly on the Mantan show with Chuck Todd, the Mantan Hour, that he's going to delay committing treason with amnesty until after the election. Then he's going to commit treason by writing an executive order, which, of course, he doesn't have the power to do. He does not have the power to make law. That's what I'm trying to get to you. He can interpret a law. He can enforce a law, rather, but he can't write law. The president does not have the power to write law, but he says he's going to. Okay? So now we find out there's an epidemic spreading through the Midwest of an infectious viral illness among school children. It's in 10 states now. And at the same time, the cheating administration will not disclose where they dumped the infected children from Central America. They will not even tell us. Did you hear what I just said? Listen to what I just said. Your cheating president and the liars in the DHS and the liars in every department under this cheating husband of ours, the president, won't even tell you where they dumped the illegal children. They will not disclose it. And now we have an outbreak of illness that's bound to spread across the country, all because of immigrants and epidemics, which I wrote about 30 years ago. Now we turn to that subject in this hour with a little more focus. We go to John on KSFO. John, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I wanted to call your attention to an article that was published in the Virology Journal in October of 2013. And it goes over all the human rhinoviruses and enteroviruses in Latin America in great detail, 3,000 subjects. This is a public, the author is Jofina Garcia. And the authors are a little bit, they mention how they find the enterovirus D68 in Latin America, in particular El Salvador. And,
You mean the human enterovirus 68 was well known to be endemic in El Salvador before our cheating president dumped the children on us?
Yeah, I'm not a medical doctor, but I can read.
Well, you're smarter than the head of the CDC. You've already figured out where the origin of the virus was. He's still looking. He hasn't found out what to lie about yet. He's busy getting a new suit and a new tie and a new haircut to go on television. Unbelievable to me. Unbelievable to me. The disease hasn't been officially identified. Officials suspect a rare respiratory virus called human enterovirus 68. But they don't know where it came from. They can't figure it out. Meanwhile, it's cropping up in 10 states among school children. Missouri, Kansas, Illinois, Kentucky, Iowa, Colorado, Ohio, Oklahoma, North Carolina, and Georgia. But it hasn't hit San Francisco, nor Washington, D.C., nor New York City, so it doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. Nobody knows. They don't have no idea where it came from. Doctors say they're not sure how this particular virus spreads. No, they have no idea. It's a normal thing to get an epidemic like this at the beginning of the school year. That's what they're saying, the medical profession. There's nothing exotic about it. Why is there an outbreak now? Because Obama flooded schools with children infected with the virus before the summer. That's all. Simple. That's all there is to it. And that's what a Democrat does. That's why I wrote the book years ago, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. A virus would be easier to treat than the mental disorder of liberalism. Do you know that? A virus would be easier to treat than the incurable mental disorder called liberalism. This is another strain of the Obama disease. It's another disease, importing children from Mexico, Honduras, and the third world. Could you believe this? Importing children, many of whom were infected with this virus, and now it's suddenly breaking out into 10 states. Liberals, of course, have no tolerance to hear any of this because they have the syndrome called mental illness. You hear me? They didn't even have an ID to get on a plane. You remember that? Remember Obama waived the TSA rules? The TSA that would frisk an 80-year-old Irish nun in a wheelchair, but they were ushering infected children onto airplanes, and now your president will not tell us where he deposited these children? Do you hear what I'm saying to you, how bad this is? So you say, well, you know, he's not really a great commander-in-chief. He's the reverse of Napoleon. He is an equal strategist to Napoleon Obama. But Napoleon used his strategic genius to defeat the enemies of France at the time. This guy is so smart, he uses his strategic genius to defeat the American people, one battle at a time. That's the opening to the show. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
What I'm unequivocal about is that we need immigration reform. That my overriding preference is to see Congress act. We had bipartisan action in the Senate. The House Republicans have sat on it for over a year. That has damaged the economy. It has held America
right,
back.
Turn the liar off. No, it hasn't damaged the economy. You've damaged the economy, not it. See, he doesn't like the Republicans at all. He would like a one-party rule, like Jerry Brown has. See, Jerry Brown has one-party rule under the iron fist of Jerry Brown. One out of three children in California is an illegal alien who can't speak English. That's the kind of country we need. We need that. We need a country where no one speaks English. Just think of how they can get away with murder then. Just think if you were a ruler, a literate white man, and you were used to having to hide what you're doing with your cronies. Think of how much easier it would be if you had a population of people who didn't even understand the language, couldn't read the newspapers, didn't understand a word of what was on English language television. Just think that would be a golden field for Dianne Feinstein. Think about that one. So why would you want children to come into the country who are literate and could speak English? So you have one out of three children is an illegal alien who can't speak English in California. That's the model for America. That's what the unions want, the SEIU, La Raza. That's their future. In other words, they want us to look more like Mexico than Mexico looks like America. So if you want to see the future is in Tijuana. If you would like your children's health to be observed, come the near future, look at the health in the third world. Then you'll see what the health is going to be in this country because of immigrants and epidemics. Say, well, I'm just being an alarmist. It won't happen. They'll cure it. They'll stop it. How do you know? How do you know? It's the same idiots who are sending the U.S. military to Africa to contain the Ebola epidemic. You're going to trust them to do anything right? Why would you risk infecting military personnel with Ebola? Unless you hated the military and were hoping you could weaken the military even further. I mean, he only decapitated some of the combat generals. Just think how great it would be if he had an epidemic spreading through the soldiers. Wow. Whoa. He really gets the gold star then. Just think of that one. So now you've got a strain of a viral illness in children that's appearing in 10 states, and they don't know why. But the clusters are interesting. The clusters are in Denver, ooh, and Chicago, and Kansas City. Well, what are these areas known for? High populations of Martians, people from Venus, or illegal aliens from Mexico and Central America? A, B, or C, answer that question. Okay, you got clusters of this respiratory illness in Chicago and Denver and Kansas City. These cities are known for clusters of children from A, Mars, B, Venus, or C, Mexico and Central America. I think you can figure that one out. 855-407-282 is the phone number. Can America survive 2 more years of this president? No. Nope, it cannot. So he says, no, I'm going to grant amnesty after the midterm elections, which are coming up in November. I'll commit treason after the election. That's all. I'm not going to commit it before because I was told that if I did, the Democrats are going to be thrown out of office forever, for 100 years. So I'll do it after. How do you like that? What's the take-home point of my message today? Stop the coming civil war. Obama must be stopped by Congress before he enacts amnesty. He must be stopped. America is at the breaking point. You must change the government in November. And there's no better way to do it than voting. And there's no better way to motivate your friends to vote than to have the cover of Stop the Coming Civil War on your coffee table and let them read it and talk about it with you. Pandemic diseases are coming to the USA from illegal aliens. He's the Napoleon in reverse.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I love this song. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Coasting into segment three of hour three, we are continuing to look at the respiratory virus that is now a contagion in 10 states. I have boldly stated this is directly related to enterovirus D68, well known to Central America, and that it's a direct result of Obama, the CDC, the DHS, and the other organizations that flooded America with illegal alien children over the summer. I stand by that allegation. And, of course, in order to disprove what I'm saying, you would have to look at the specific strain of EVD68 and then compare it with the strains in those nations and then come to some conclusion as to whether they're related. Joining us right now to give us her opinion is Dr. Jane Orient. Jane Orient is a very important person. Why? Because she's on the Savage Nation, but she knows an awful lot about what we're talking about. She received her BA in chemistry with honors. She got a Bachelor of Science in Mathematics, summa cum laude, which means something even in the age of Obama. She received her MD from Columbia University College of Physicians and Surgeons in 1974. But she's way beyond that, okay? She is a clinic lecturer at the University of Arizona. She's a former staff physician at Tucson Veterans Administration Medical Center. She knows what she's talking about. She's the managing editor of the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons. Did you know that? Many, many other credentials. So let's hear what Dr. Jane Orient has to say about my allegation that there is a relationship between the viral epidemic that is spreading among school children in America and the gross importation of 50 to 80,000 illegal alien children over the summer. Dr. Orient, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Michael. And thank you for bringing up this question, which should be pretty obvious. And you have outlined the way that we can get the answer to the question. But as far as I know, the CDC is not doing that. That is to compare the exact strain of the virus that is admitting children to hospitals in this country with the strains that are prevalent in Central America.
So, Dr. Orient, plain and simple science, medicine, epidemiology would say, okay, we really want to know why this outbreak's occurring. Let's look at the strain of virus that these children are becoming infected with, and let's compare it with something we know about. And since there's a reason to conclude that it may be related to flooding America with children who were put into this country over the summer, you would want to compare it with the viruses in their home country. Wouldn't that make sense?
Well, you certainly would, and you would like to know where the patients being admitted to the hospital came from and what their contact history has been. And you might want to look at the schedule of charter flights in this country between places like Brownsville, Texas, and Tucson, Arizona, nonstop flights filled with illegal aliens, and then from Tucson they go to other destinations. You might just want to look at the map of where the flights land and where the hospital admissions are, and see whether there might be an association.
Dr. Orient, this is commonsensical, but yet we have a government that's operating in the secret and in the dark. They will not even disclose where they dump these children. Do you know that? They won't give out the cities, the counties, the states, and the schools in which they were put?
No, and this is really very, very disturbing. I mean, it's always been known that if you allow big influxes of immigrants into the country, you are allowing new public health threats of diseases that are not familiar here. I don't think American physicians have ever heard of enterovirus 68. And we're even getting conflicting reports from AMA Morning Rounds. Recently, they talked about this polio-like virus that was causing children to be paralyzed and not recovering from it. And then the same virus, enterovirus 68, they're talking about the severe respiratory virus that's landing children, especially if they have asthma, right in the intensive care unit, unable to breathe. So this is a major public health disaster.
Yes, it's a major public health disaster caused directly by the La Raza and the other pressure groups that are forcing the president to dump to bring the children in. But this will be magnified if they grant amnesty, because we don't know how many people will come in who are diseased.
Well, it's just not a good idea to do away with the screening of immigrants that had been done back in the old days when our ancestors crossed the Atlantic. It's just crazy. I mean, this is one problem. Multi-drug-resistant tuberculosis may be the most serious problem. Whether it has anything to do with Ebola, I'm not sure. But certainly, if you wanted to introduce a deadly virus into the United States, one way to do it is to send a carrier with it across the border and drop him off at the bus station in Phoenix, Arizona, or someplace else.
Dr. Orient, there's another subject that's deeply disturbing to me, and that's Obama announcing he's going to be sending U.S. military personnel to Africa to aid in the control of Ebola. You and I both know that makes no sense. Doesn't that put our military personnel at risk to contract Ebola?
When they come back, and you know, the incubation period may be as long as 25 days, they may spread the virus here. Or even if they get it there and recover, there have been cases of transmission months after recovery, so they may have a chronic carrier state for the virus.
Unbelievable. Everywhere you turn, there's a topsy-turvy world. And there are no people in charge who are willing to step out and say, wait a minute, this is dangerous. The CDC has become nothing but a political arm of this administration. DHS is nothing but basically a stooge front for the Obama administration and the amnesty crowd. How do we, the people, react to this other than to say, we're going to vote in November, we're going to change the Congress, and pray to God the Republicans don't continue to do this? Dr. Orion, I want to thank you for taking the time and being brave enough to speak out on the Savage Nation. I really mean that. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael, for speaking out to yourself.
Thank you. What a great, great woman that is. God, I wish there were more people like her in this country. They're not in the CDC. They were never allowed in. They were never allowed in. I wasn't allowed in. Oh, no. No, I wasn't allowed in the universities. I wasn't allowed in the CDC. And look what you have now. Look what you have now in this country. Well, we've been talking about these very important problems. And let's pray to God that this infectious respiratory virus that's spreading in 10 states does not hit Washington, D.C., San Francisco, or New York City, because then you'll hear about it. No, you don't want it to hit any of these cities. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
Come to the end of hour number three. You don't want to miss this. This is the summary. This is the sine qua non. This is the germ. This is the seed. This is the summary of what's going on in the world on the Savage Nation. Are you ready for this? Obama has flooded America with tens of thousands of children from Guatemala and El Salvador, and God knows where else, many of whom are infected with diseases that are now spreading in America. Now, none of the fools at the CDC, which is really no longer the Centers for Disease Control, but the Centers for Disease Spread, or shall I say the CDD, the Centers for Disease Dissemination, those useless so-called scientists are nothing but stooges of this Democrat Socialist administration, because there's a respiratory virus that's spreading like a plague out through the Midwest and South, and they say they don't know where it came from. The enterovirus EVD68. It's sending 30 children to the hospital each day, where 15% of the children have to be sent into intensive care units. Now, where did it suddenly appear from? Oh, they don't know. No, they don't know, all these jerks, these overpaid fake scientists. I know where it's coming from. It's from Obama flooding America with diseased immigrants. Media's hiding illegal alien disease threat. Yeah, all right. Another NBA owner has to sell his team after a private so-called racist email. Can you imagine? Boy, I'd love to see the racist emails that Holder may have written, or Sharpton, or Jackson, or even the president himself. I'd like to see his private emails. Your friends in Gaza, you call him an imam? An imam, what, because he wears a filthy, dirty, holy robe and makes an imam? He's not an imam, he's an enemy. Pulled out an assault rifle during a sermon. Can you believe this? Now, who is this vermin at this mosque in Gaza? This imam who pulled out an assault rifle during one of his sermons was imprisoned in Israel in 03. He was sentenced to 29 years, but he was released in a goodwill gesture in 2011. He was rearrested and then deported to Gaza after a trial in 2013. And this now, this is an imam? They are the enemy hiding as religious figures. Now, there's so much more in the news, from the ridiculous to the sublime, like what is your way to doing behind your back? Well, you want to hear? Shall I tell you? Because a study was done. 15% of them are contaminating your food. 79% of them are laughing at you behind your back. 69%, well, I don't have to read you the list. It's what your waiter is doing behind your back. Yeah, okay, welcome to the new America. Those gentle, polite, illegal aliens, they really love you. They really love you. Now you got to hear some of the sound. The Ebola epidemic is out of control in Africa, so what's the Schmendrick in the White House going to do? He's sending U.S. military to Africa to help control the epidemic, meaning to, what, make sure that our military come back with Ebola? This man is crazy. This is an impeachable offense. Listen to clip one.
We're going to have to get U.S. military assets just to set up, for example, isolation units and equipment there to provide security for public health workers surging from around the world. If we do that, then it's still going to be months before this problem is controllable in Africa, but it shouldn't reach our shores.
Then Obama goes on NBC's Meet the Depressed. Meet Depressed. Meet Depressed is how I named it. Everyone copied it and called it Meet the Depressed. It's all mine from 10 years ago. With Upchuck Todd, the high school dropout. Upchuck Todd, who they gave a man tan to and put him on a weight loss diet over the weekend, threw some softball questions at him about the illegal aliens and why he's not legalizing them all of a sudden. Listen to this.
I want to spend some time, even as we're getting all our ducks in a row for the executive action, I also want to make sure that the public understands why we're doing this, why it's the right thing for the American people, why it's the right thing for the American economy.
This gets even better. Upchuck Todd asks him about golfing during that vacation after the Foley beheading video. Listen to this one at clip six.
I got asked to during that vacation. Made the statement on Foley. You went and golfed. Do you want that back?
You know, it is always a challenge when you're supposed to be on vacation. Because you're followed everywhere, and part of what I'd love is a vacation from the press, because
I promise you, in 2.5 years,
yeah,
I think that happens.
Because the possibility of a jarring contrast, given the world's news, is always there's always going to be some tough news somewhere.
In 10, your president says he will unilaterally legalize illegal aliens,
and in the absence of congressional action, I intend to take action. To make sure that we're putting more resources on the border, that we're upgrading how we process these cases, and that we find a way to encourage legal immigration and give people some path so that they can start paying taxes and pay a fine and learn English and be able to not look over the shoulder, but be legal. Since they've been living here for quite some time.
Oh, really? That means in clip 12 he says he's going to do it, now he says he's not going to do it. So he was going to do it, now he's not going to do it. You mean he's going to do it after the election? You mean he's going to commit treason after the election, not before the election?
I want to be very clear. My intention is, in the absence of action by Congress, I'm going to do what I can do within the legal constraints of my office, because it's the right thing to do for the country. All right?
Representative Tony Cardenas says illegals are a boon to our economy. Can anyone explain how that's possible?
There are 11 million people here in the shadows in the United States, and by and large, they're here to work, and they're a boon to our economy. For example, if the president were just to do parole in place, that would affect a few million people and allow them to work, have a work visa while they're here, while they're getting their documentation, and that would put a lot of businesses around the country on better footing.
How can they be a boon to our economy when most of them are on welfare? Also on Meet the Press, Obama finally gets around to discussing the threat of the Islamofascists in the IKK, known as ISS-ISS. I think the IRS is a bigger threat as the ISS, but nevertheless, he says now suddenly he's taking them seriously. He's going to take more time to suppress them than World War II took to win, okay? What a commander-in-chief.
What I have done over the last several months is, first and foremost, make sure that we got eyes on the problem, that we shifted resources, intelligence, reconnaissance, we did an assessment on the ground. The second step was to make sure that we protected American personnel, our embassies, our consulates. That included taking airstrikes to ensure that towns like Erbil were not overrun, critical infrastructure like the Mosul Dam was protected, and that we were able to engage in key humanitarian assistance programs that have saved thousands of lives.
And remember, in clip 24, when he said they're a JV team, listen to this.
They're
not a JV team, but keep in mind that we anticipated some of these problems in the speech that I gave in West Point several months ago, where I specifically said our goal should not be to think that we can occupy every country where there is a terrorist organization.
Well, here comes Romney. Here comes Romney again. He says, maybe you can't see reality from a fair way.
Oh, I think they have some buyer's remorse about President Obama. I'm not sure how they feel about me, but that's kind of irrelevant. The real question is, how's this president doing? And frankly, they recognize the president has not been engaged. The idea that we have a group known as ISIS or ISIL that we've known about for almost a year, where members of Congress have said to the president, prepare for this. Get ready for them. Make sure they don't make incursions into Iraq. I mean, we fought long and hard to provide security and freedom for those people. And yet the president was, I don't know, too busy on the golf course to pick up the phone and meet with the leaders around the world and to say, what happens if?
Oh, come on, Mitt. Get tougher if you want to go all the way. You're running for the presidency. This is not for a college job. Well, that's all of the news of the day. Thank you for listening to The Savage Nation, and be sure to go to BarnesandNoble.com right now and order your advanced copy of Stop the Coming Civil War. I need you to carry that book around with you at work, at play, on the job, when commuting, to send a message about what this administration is planning. Remember, Stop the Coming Civil War. Order your pre-copy now on BarnesandNoble.com. God bless America. This is Michael Savage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.